The Corporation, an epic story of the Cuban-American underworld by T.J. English. Read by Tim Pabon. In the United States of America, the true melting pot has been organized crime. The process of becoming American is rooted in gangsterism. If you start with the supposition that the country is by its very nature a criminal enterprise, colonized and taken by force from the native population, then facilitated by an economic system of human enslavement that was eventually determined to be illegal, you get the picture. The seed was planted long ago. The mob is merely the flowering of that seed, watered with the blood of the many thousands of gangland slaying victims from over the last century. Traditional organized crime, Irish, Italian, Jewish, and more, has its roots in the early decades of the 20th century. The Prohibition era gave rise to a criminal system by which gangsterism and politics would be inexorably linked, and the American underworld was institutionalized. Aspects of this history have been memorialized in movies, novels, and popular culture. For many citizens, the very idea of gangsterism is rooted in this historical narrative of getting ahead in the social universe, what we sometimes refer to as the pursuit of the American dream. For Cuban Americans, this storyline is of a more recent vintage. Whereas the traditional mob arose in the early decades of the previous century, the Cuban underworld in the United States was spawned by a revolution back home in La Patria, the homeland, which took place in the 1950s. The tumultuous legacy of the Cuban Revolution, as led by Fidel Castro, Ernesto Che Guevara, and many others, has been chronicled in innumerable books, documentaries, paintings, plays, movies, and personal histories. Like other historical events of great consequence, it has been interpreted and reconstituted through the prism of political ideology, iconography, legend, and fantasy, so that the lessons to be learned are fungible, depending on your point of view. Castro is a hero. Castro is the devil. The revolution was for the people, or it was done to centralize the power of the government so that Castro could never be challenged. One indisputable and rarely discussed point is that many men and women who contributed to the revolution, including some who fought alongside Castro and his 26th of July movement, did not know, nor would it have been their intention had they known, that they were taking part in a communist takeover. Castro was scrupulous in not declaring the political movement of which he was a part to be a Marxist-Leninist enterprise. When he traveled to the United States in 1955-56 and gave speeches designed to raise money for his cause, he kept his cards close to his chest. It was only after the revolution was successful that Castro and Guevara made their designs clear. Some prominent members of the revolution, including rebel fighters who had distinguished themselves on the battlefield, and also some leading minds of the underground resistance, expressed their dismay with the direction of the new revolutionary government. When it became clear that the Castro regime was to be a communist dictatorship with no legitimate elections, people began to flee. Supporters of the deposed dictator, El Presidente Fulgencio Batista, were for obvious reasons among the first to abandon ship. Those who didn't escape were rounded up. Some were put up against a wall and executed by firing squad. El paredón, to the wall. The next to flee were the upper classes, which had seen their property and businesses seized by government decree. And then came the tens of thousands of others, common folk, teachers, professionals, artists, and the dispossessed, who fled the island any way they could, by plane and by boat, and in later years by raft, inflated inner tubes, and other flimsy, jerry-rigged vessels, some of which succumbed to the stormy realities of an unforgiving sea, resulting in death.